to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends. Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, indeed. Welcome. And, you know, let me take a minute to toot my own horn. Because all the work I've done this weekend by myself, no helping, you know, putting out this quality shows. I'm not going to do that tonight, okay? This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. Special edition, Comic-Con edition. We are a couple hours behind what we normally come on at 5 p.m., but I'm not going to work this alone. I'm going to create an assistant to help me. I'm going to go to the mad scientist lab and put together someone capable and qualified to help me out. Not capable of running things, but so let me get a brain here, some lungs, put a little geek formula in it, pour a little scotch into the mix. Shazam!
What am I doing here?
You are the latest minion creation that I need for the show tonight.
Okay, what are those? I will creepy yellow things over there.
I will dub you Worth My Time.
Okay.
Okay, so you are the Worth Man. And so you're going to help me go over the Comic-Con news.
Yeah, now, hello everybody, Jordan Workov here.
If you pick up that piece of paper, explain to people how they can call in and join us and not just listen to us rattle on. Yeah, you can read that.
Okay.
Put the scotch there.
If erections last long... Oh, no, wait. Okay, for you to call in and join us, since we're all about, you know, interactivity here. I lost the word for a second. Join us by calling the phone number 215-253-4516. 215-253-4516. Call in or call in on Skype, add and or just call the contact Silver Surfer _forever. Or you could join me and Surfer and Stanley Kubrick and Kid Human and a bunch of others at the Listen Live chat room at www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live.
And we hope Chris Nixon is having a wonderful time at San Diego Comic-Con. I was hoping he was going to give us a floor report, but I guess he's too busy, you know, avoiding the people with bad odors and stuff, because... Take it from me, when you go to a Comic-Con, your nose is just be on fire. You know, some people think that they can go into a hot room full with 150,000 people and not wear deodorant. It's just wrong. And I never got it, you know.
Yeah.
Hills Reborn. We'll talk about that. We're going to get to all of it. So... We're also doing our regular show today, so I got to start by asking Jordan, how's he been?
I'm fine. I'm tired. I'm ready to not do another show a consecutive day in a row. I'm ready to get back to my own shit by writing, plotting out some stories I got ideas for, trying to make a movie. I'm ready to get back on that.
So you finally going to start that porn business I've been trying to. That's good. Good.
Yeah, the first film is Stanley Kubrick in a gangbang with five Brazilian men.
Why the men? Why not women?
Yeah, they were the only ones willing.
Oh, okay.
In all complete honesty, don't worry, they're gonna treat Stanley's butthole just fine.
No, come on, now.
Oh, I'm sorry. What, were we not the same person? Were we not the same show that had a bunch of people spelling mammy last night at the end of it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
But yeah, I've been glad to do the Comic-Con news. This is like our biggest weekend. We get a lot of new listeners and such. I'm just ready to just relax and not have to look at comicbookresources.com or multiple Twitter feeds.
You should have a browser open because, you know, there's some late news that we don't want to miss out on. So.
Oh, no, I'm not an idiot. I have that open.
Okay. I never called you.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Stanley. You're not going to get a granny porn gangbang unless you can prove you can do well with five Brazilian men. What is it with him and Granny Porn?
Let's talk about something we haven't talked about in a while. Box office numbers. Number one for the weekend. Minions brought in $115 million. Those little.
Is that comic book related?
Yes, it's Minions. Don't you dare.
Really?
Don't you dare question the Minions, okay?
I question why they have their own movie.
Because they're Minions, okay? Everybody loves the Minions.
Yeah, but do you really want to see 90 minutes of little yellow things just talking gibberish?
I did see 90 minutes of a little chicken McNugget nut sacks. King Bob! See, I understood what he was saying. And people love those Minions to the point it opened up to $115 million. It opened up, had a bigger opening weekend than Inside Out. And bigger than Despicable Me 2. And worldwide is already up to $395 million. So the world is overrun by little Minions. And so other news, of course, I'll mention it anyway. Jurassic World came in second place with $18 million. Inside Out, $17 million. That's animated. That's why we're talking about it. Terminator Genesis, that's comic book related, came in fourth place with $13 million. And that is about it as far as Mad Max, $615,000, down way down 11th place. So that's it for his box office. No, Avengers. $439,000. Won't die, people. Avengers, Age of Ultron. But, it's a kicking ass as far as the overseas box office. Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, what's the stuff getting caught in my throat? Okay. So, sorry. Yesterday, we was going to talk about, I'm going to go over this, okay? I know you wanted to, but I'm going to do it as soon as I
find it. I don't care. What is it?
Just don't say you don't care.
If you want to lead, just say you want to lead.
I am the leader. I keep forgetting. You know, every day you think you like Starscream, man. You think you're gonna overthrow me. This ain't gonna happen. I am Megatron
around. Starscream was a great character.
Yeah, but he couldn't take, you know, he always plotted, but he knew better to really overthrow Megatron. So, I mean,
boy. Very fair, so.
Zen, peace, Zen,
All right, come on, let's story.
I'm trying to get to it because I thought you, I don't see it on the Google Doc. So,
what story?
The awards.
The Eisner Awards. Yeah, yes. They're at the top.
Oh, okay. I mean,
under Maxwell Lord.
Oh, now, come on now.
Oh, I'm sorry. People already knew that was out.
No, I mean, no. I mean, you just, I didn't see it. That's all. Not the Maxwell Lord stuff. We'll talk about that. Don't worry.
I wasn't getting into Maxwell Lord stuff. I was just telling you.
I know that. I know. I'm just saying. I wasn't going to see that. Ah, Jordan, let's make up. Let's not fight.
All right. Let's get to the Eisner Award. You know, Eisner Awards.
I'm opening up the thing now so I can read it. Here we go. So every year, of course, at the San Diego Comic Con, they have one of their big comic book awards, which is the Eisner's Awards, which is named after comic legend Will Eisner, who created the Spirit. And so, of course, people are nominated for stories and art and writing and stuff. So, quickly, and if you want to read the full list, you can go to Newsarama, or probably any other comic book site will have this listed, or you could probably find the Eisner Award website. So, best short story goes to When Darkness Presents, Emily Carroll, self-published book. That's good to hear. Best single issue, Beast of Burdens, Hunters and Gatherers, Evan Doykin and Jill Thompson's Dark Horse. Best continuing series, Saga, is Saga ever going to not win? Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. You ever notice that now when you look at the Saga book, Fiona Staples' name comes first?
I haven't, actually. I just pick up Saga, look at the cover, then read.
Best limited series, Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland. Eric Shonona and Gabriel Rodriguez. Best new series, Lumberjacks, Shannon Walters, Grace Ellis, Noel Stevens, and Brooke E. Allen. Best publication for early readers is a Zoo Box. Ariel Cohen, Aaron Nails, Stinkle?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay. Skip over some of these.
Oh, it's Steranko.
Best digital web publication is Private Eyes by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin. See, the fix is in. Brian K. Vaughan, he must be the best writer out there. Because he's always winning.
Or maybe he's just one of the best damn writers possible.
Best anthology is Little Nemo, Dream Another Dream. Best reality-based work, Hip Hop Family Tree, Volume 2, Ed Pilsner. Is that, Ed Pilsner, is that, what's his name, used to do the rap show, or you don't know, you didn't watch.
Yo, MTV Raps?
No, yeah, I think they did Yo, he was doing a week. Where we at? Best Archive Collection Project, Serango, Nick Fury, Agents and Shields, Artist Edition. Best U.S. Edition of International Material, Blackside, Arello, Juan Diaz, Canal, and Wano. Is that Wano? I can't pronounce his last name. Gardino? Sucks not being able to read, so. Best
Guarandino.
Okay. Best writer, Glenn Luan Yang for Avatar Last Airbender. Jason Aaron got...
And Shadow Hero.
Jason Aaron got nominated for Original Sin, or they were just...
He got nominated for Original Sin, Thor, and Men of Wraith, and also Seven of Bastards.
Overall best writer, not just for one series.
Yeah, just best writer, yeah. Which is why I had to mention Shadow Hero aside from Avatar for Yang. It's, you know, that's what he was nominated for.
Okay. Best writer artist, Raina Telegmeister for Sisters.
Telegmeier.
Telegmeier, okay. Best penciler, inker, Fiona Staples, Saga. Best painter, multimedia artist, J.H. Williams III, Sandman, Overture. Best cover artist, Darren Cook, I'm sorry. DC Darren Cook monthly variant covers. And, anything else I should skim on? No. But if you want, there are more.
Well,
you
know, the only other thing worth mentioning is Frank Miller winning the, Frank Miller, John Byrne, Chris Claremont, and Dennis Kitchen being awarded to the Eisner Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that. Okay, but they deserve. They all deserve to be there.
You know? Yeah, agreed.
And you know, Frank Miller's a little loopy.
Hey, again, if Frank Miller used to be a good writer, not so much anymore.
Well, listen. I think like most writers, you know, they have a shelf life, and then after a while, you know, the way people write move on, and they don't. Like, would you run out and buy a Stan Lee book today?
No, not really.
Listen, he wrote some of the greatest stories of all time, but the way he writes just don't fit with today's comic book.
No, he doesn't, but my thing is Frank Miller seems to have lost touch just in terms of his repetitive writing, his not-so-appeasing art style anymore, and also the fact that he turned that, and also the fact that Holy Terror just really get it.
Now, Jordan, I have been rubbing it in over the fact that some TV shows are meant to die and wither on the vine, while others thrive and live on. But explain to me, Hannibal, maybe being a movie when it's already been movies.
Okay, this version of Hannibal, and by the way, I should note, if something should happen to Grimm, I wouldn't be doing the same thing you are. I would be respectful and say, I'm sorry that happened, dick. So, yes, the current NBC drama, which is rounding out its third and presumably final season, was on hand at San Diego Comic-Con. And a Hollywood Reporter was talking to creator Brian Fuller, who is both fans, to say how dedicated he is to bring back Mads Mikkelsen and Hugh Dancy for more stories. He said, quote, We are still looking. We don't have a lot of answers, and we're looking at the possibility of a feature. So we have Hugh and Matt, who are very committed to the show and would love to continue the show. The way the season ends, we have the opportunity for a break, and hopefully we'll be able to find a way to bring Mads and Hugh back to you. So there's a possibility that there could be a movie, even though the two actors were recently released from their contracts by co-producer Gaumont TV, although both men have expressed interest in continuing their adaptation of the classic horror novels by Thomas Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kind of hope for a satisfying ending, which, again, Hannibal was originally meant for 4 seasons, according to Fuller, just so he could do... Red Dragon 4th, and now that we're getting Red Dragon, the second half of this current season might be a good thing.
Is this all part of canon with the movies, or is just...
This is its own thing. This is not canon to any of the movies.
Okay, just checking.
It's a wholly separate thing.
So, would you have freaked out had what you call it showed up on the TV show at all?
Had what?
I'm blanking on her name.
Clarice?
Well, her real name, yeah. What's her real name?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yes. In any form.
That would have been fine. That would have been cool. I'd been like, oh, that's a nice surprise. I wasn't expecting that. If I were to quote unquote freak out, it would have to depend on how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of her appearance. So, yeah.
All right. So, what's the next story you want to go with?
Well, I'm gonna get one. I want to get one of the few non-comic con stories out of the way first.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, I didn't know if we should do all that up front or do that at the end.
Why don't we just do a mix?
So, okay, people. There was other stories this week that got broken that was comic book related that we didn't cover over the weekend because we were sticking to the Comic Con. So real quickly, we're going to go over the non-Comic Con news that still is important to us, to you.
Yes, the 1, 2, 3 stories we have right here.
It should be more. I mean, there was a...
I tried to scroll down on our page, but it kind of went way slow. Slower to what more I went okay. down the trip since we were in a wall of Comic-Con stuff, and also there kind of wasn't that many stories, aside from a few that were coming out before Comic-Con happened.
Well, I will scroll down to the stories while you talk about the first one.
And are you damn right I'm going to talk about this one. Warren Ellis is writing James Bond comic books.
Yeah, but for how long?
Don't kill my vibe right now. It was originally announced back, earlier in the year that Dynamite Entertainment had gotten the comic book rights to do James Bond stories.
Mm-hmm. Now, which James Bond is he going to do?
Just James Bond.
Yeah, but...
Okay, he's not doing Connery. He's not doing any of the actors.
So this is going to be
generic-looking
James Bond.
This is more so based off the Fleming novels. This is not based off a specific version of James Bond.
Well, they're all based off Fleming. I'm just saying, like, they going to make up a look for him, or are they going to make him look like Daniel Craig or something?
They're going to make up their own look.
Okay.
They're going to make up their own look. The series will be launching in November with a 6-issue arc called Varger. The series will set 007 back in London after a mission of vengeance in Helsinki, where he takes on the workload of a fallen agent. But something evil is moving through the back streets of the city, and sinister plans are being laid for Bond in Berlin. Now... Ellis usually said he wouldn't do something like an established property. He'd rather just continue making his own things. But Ellis called Bond an icon and said it's a delight to tell visual narratives with the original brutal James Bond of the Fleming books. He said Bond is not a Superman. He prevails because he is quite simply nastier and more determined to wreak utter havoc than the next guy. In some ways, I don't think Fleming was unaware of this. He is what Allen Ginsberg called bleak male energy, causing and taking immense damage in single-minded pursuit of what he wants. He is England's blunt instrument of international assault, the spiteful, vicious bastard of a faded empire that still wants the world to do as it's bloody well told.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he said he's going to he said the film... He personally said he's found the films to recoil Bond from the bastard, more obviously into Roger Moore stuff, and, he wants to bring that back. And there's even word from the Fleming estate. His great-nephew, Diggory Laycock, said the comic series is an exciting new chapter of literacy James Bond. Gritty, dark, and unique. We can't wait to see James Bond embroiled in an adventure of his creation. And this isn't the first time for Bond comics. There were comic strips back in the late 1950s, but the only recent ones were published in 1995 by Dark Horse.
I think I might have picked up a copy.
In 96, in a Topps Comics uncompleted adaptation of Goldeneye.
I think I might have picked up the Topps. Not sure. I got some non-Comic Con news.
Well, again, the series is out in November, and I you bet your ass we'll be picking that up.
Okay. Barnes & Noble is to double the size of their graphic novels and manga section. The U.S. retailer announced that they're going to sell more graphic novels. I guess, you know, even though bookstores are failing, graphic novels and manga is doing well, so they're going to go more with that.
A bit of Comic Con news that came out is related to something at Comic Con, is that Blind Al has been casted in Deadpool. Blind, what the hell? Yes, actress Leslie Uggams from Roots and Nurse Jackie announced she'll be playing Blind Al, also known as Alfina, opposite Deadpool.
She's one of my all-time crushes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I grew up crushing on her.
This character is being described as worldly, great sense of comedic timing, sarcastic, dry, and funny. For those that don't know, Blind Al is a visually impaired older woman that has a very odd friendship with Deadpool. In the comics, Wilson met Blind Al before he became Deadpool, and when he was sent to kill her, he spared her. And they struck up a very interesting friendship since then.
Well, I'm glad Leslie Uggams is
working.
She's doing something because, you know, she still can get it in my book. I know you don't know much about her, but
I've seen Roots and I've seen her on Nurse Jackie.
You are youngin', and that's not to put you down, but you
know. That possibly means I couldn't know anything about the time before me, right?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It's impossible for you.
No, it's not. No, it's really not. Because I also know she was on The Muppet Show and Magnum P.I. So. Suck it.
You suck it.
Okay.
You know, present. You're starting to become like somebody I know. It's just mean to me.
Except I'm not mean to you. I come out. I tease you. I have a good place in my heart.
I know. Of course, we're gonna recap the biggest nine Comic Con news.
Yes,
Aunt May is hot.
Yeah, God, I have the fan on next to me, and anyway, another bit of Comic Con news, non-Comic Con news. Aunt May is Barry hot. Saying.
No, Aunt May. No, Aunt May. We're back on Aunt May.
Why? We've already covered the Aunt May.
Yeah,
stuff.
But that would, you know, we're covering it now.
All right.
Because I know the conspiracy about making Aunt May being a gilf, okay? And Melissa Tomei playing Aunt May. I mean, come on now. Think of the damage that's going to be doing the fanboys out there who's going to go in and get chubbies looking at Aunt May. Come on now. How are they going to concentrate on Peter Parker? They're concentrating on Aunt May.
Conspiracy. I assume there's already someone who gets a chubby off on Aunt May.
Take it now?
I assume there's already someone that likes Spider-Man that gets a chubby off Aunt May, like Stanley Kubrick. But
if they're not, they shouldn't get one off the old decrepit comic book version.
You know someone does.
Okay, well, yeah. Again. You know what his name is? His name is Jameson, and he married her.
J. Jonah Jameson's father, that is correct. She is technically May Jameson.
All right, what story you wanted to come up with?
I was going to bring up the only other bit of, Comic-Con news I could find, which was Halle Berry weighing in on her desire to play Storm in a solo movie.
I wouldn't have a problem with that, but most people would, so.
I would like a Storm movie, maybe not with Halle Berry. I've come to realize I like the character in the movies, but I don't know, I'm not quite. I like her in X1 and X2. I really didn't care how much for Storm.
On 1 to 10, how do you rate Halle Berry's hotness-wise?
I go 8.5.
Because, you know, she's been around for so long, you kind of like gloss over the fact. But I saw her in a movie like last year. It just brought back to the fact that this woman is just gorgeous.
No, she is a very striking lady. I'm not going to deny that.
I mean, she may be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or lousy in bed or whatever. It's some reason why these guys keep cheating on her. What about the young women who competed in the Invention for Ant-Man competition? Did you read that article?
Oh, damn. I did not read that article. Okay, fine. Hold on. Let me bring it up.
Hey, you need a link?
Yeah, or if you got the link, then go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you the link so you can look at it too, you know.
All right, yeah, send me a link. All right, go, leave.
Okay, from May 21 to June 11, girls from ages 14 to 18 was invited to participate in Marvel's Ant-Man Microtech Challenge, a new contest sponsored by the comic book studio whose contestants was asked to create something big from something very small using at least one readily available microtechnology component. None so rare, Antimanium present, Steve Rogers, Ultron, I forget that. The contestants were asked to submit short videos demonstrating their projects and how to inspire future girls to develop an interest in STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, or math. On June 29, Marvel announced the winners of the contest, who designed a unique array of inventions that, while diverse, are similar to the inventions of ingenuity. Let me skip down some. All right, so you can see the video here. Some of the contestants was Allison White, 16, from Kaysville, Utah. Who knew people from Utah could invent stuff?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, is it the not having sex or no caffeine or drugs or alcohol?
Allison created a water uses limited for shower heads, which visually notifies the user that they are exceeding their water usage limits. Allison acquired skills in electronic circuitry programming while working on her project. She feels that the project could help people throughout the world better manage scarce water resources. Okay, Anna Nixon, 14, from Portland, Oregon. Anna turned a plush toy into an interactive character with voice recognition, face detection features, and a graphical user interface. Isn't that Ted?
Anna learned. No, Ted is magic.
Yeah, but Ted was a bear that interacted at first and came to life. But anyway.
Well, yeah, kind of like that, but then magic made it like a sentient thing.
Anna learned many skills while creating her projects, including 3 coding languages and how to use AMP stacks to run dynamic web servers. She's looking forward to adding real-life health detection features to her projects. Who's next? Aisha Patel, 16, from Columbus, Georgia. Issa combined her love for arts and engineering to create a robotic arm that draws images created on a computer screen. Issa learned 2 coding languages and refined her robotic building skills for the project. She described her project, I feel stupid. I'm not creating anything. Stepping stones.
I'm creating stories.
Yeah, you're not creating nothing but fake reality. Elizabeth Amesley, 17.
To help you
from
escape your real one.
Durham, North Carolina. Elizabeth brought her sense of whimsy to the contest by creating an automatic bubble maker shaped like an octopus. Okay. Let's see. Maxine Harnett, 18, from Boulder, Colorado. Maxine, did she create something to smoke with or no? Created a sound actual lantern. Maxine taught herself a new programming language and how to use PMW pins to various LED light levels for her project. So, women are outdoing men. They're kicking ass. Don't you feel like you've let the world down, Jordan?
No.
Because I do.
No, that's only... I will only feel that way if I'm unable in fully achieving part of my dreams and goals.
And,
so,
of course, you know, Sorry, the next news was Han Solo was going to get his own movie. Who do you think would make a good Han Solo?
I don't know. I don't know.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah, that'd be cool, but
they talk about Chris Pratt playing Indiana Jones, too, so... Chris Pratt would be everywhere. He would get overexposed, I think, at that point. I would go with somebody unknown like they did originally. And Harry Shearer's returning to The Simpsons, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, whatever ploy he was using, I guess, to get more money, he did it, so. I guess that was it.
That's really all the,
No, more. Ghostbusters costume was... Picture of the girls in the Ghostbusters costume came out this week. You did see that, right?
Yes, I saw it.
Okay. Photos came out from the set of Jessica Jones, and she's covered in blood. I guess she's kicking ass. And the Ecto-1 was revealed also this week. And
yeah, it's fine.
And did we talk about the whole lock and key last week?
The audio play.
Yes.
There will be an audio play of Joe Hill's Lock and Key featuring Tatiana Masolini on Amazon Audible. I believe sometime this fall.
And we talk about the new casting for Elektra?
I'm forgetting the actress's name right now. Hold on, let me... Look at that so I can make sure.
It's Elektra.
Actress's name. Elodie Young is playing Elektra Nachios in season 2 of Daredevil. The announcement was made and then up on the Facebook page, a sigh holding up a news article against a brick wall about Daredevil.
Let's see. Dark Horse and Universal Cable signed a first look deal for their comic book shows, so you might be getting more Dark Horse related properties on movies and TVs, so in the near future. Michael K. Williams joined Assassin's Creed. He always either plays a cop or a crime boss. You know Michael K. Williams, right?
Omar Little on The Wire, Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire, actor in various movies and television shows. Yeah, I know.
Apparently, Bryan Singer wants to direct Fantastic Four 2 en route to a X-Men crossover.
A possible.
Yes, of course. That's
not official in any damn way.
And then the saddest news of the week. Jordan, bow your head. In a moment of silence, there was a passing this week. The Marvel Experience Traveling Theme Park tour canceled.
I bowed my head for that. Really?
Came to Philadelphia and we ruined this shit for everybody else.
What a surprise. The people who booed Santa Claus and Eagles game.
First of all, you don't even know what. You know what? You're going to bring up booing Santa. You don't even know what happened. You're just going by some myth that you heard from some sportscaster. You weren't even alive when that happened. You don't even know what happened. You want to know what happened with Santa Claus?
What, did he shit on a Philly?
No. This drunk guy. Skinny drunk guy came out dressed as Santa Claus during a football game. And he was drunk. And that's why he got booed. And it spun into this legend of, oh, they booed Santa. Santa Claus not even real. And then, you know, no one brings up that Cleveland pounded their stadium with beer bottles one time. Is that ever brought up? No. Is it ever brought up about when fans rush fields and beat people up? No.
Okay, but, well, it's everywhere, but Philadelphia fans are notoriously hostile.
But Santa Claus. Oh, poor Santa Claus.
It's called a joke. Can you...
Poor Santa Claus.
All right, fine. I suck. You're awesome. Let's move on.
All right, so we talked about, I'm just, you know, we're about to move on, but I want to make sure. We talked about Grant Morrison being named editor-in-chief for Heavy Metal last week.
Yeah, Grant Morrison is the new editor-in-chief of Heavy Metal Magazine.
We talked about Atari returning to comic books with Dynamite Entertainment.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, Dynamite is going to be putting out comic books based on Atari video games. So, Centipede and Asteroids and Tempest get their own books. You know, you don't have to worry about them going to movies. But, or actually, it is coming to a movie in Pixels. So, yeah, but that whole Marvel experience, man, I shouldn't have dumped on it. I feel responsible for it. He must have listened to me. Said, "Well, Surfer didn't like it. We're gonna put a halt to this." So
apparently, Aaron Paul is up for Han Solo.
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I don't dislike Aaron Paul, but he's always gonna be Jesse. I mean, it's a Jesse, right?
Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, he's always gonna be Jesse, no matter what he does at this point. I mean, and it's not, maybe it's not fair, but anyway.
Yo, this ship made a Kessel Run 12 parsecs, bitch.
So where'd you see that story at?
Apparently it's in the chat room.
Oh, who wrote that?
Matt Echelon. I've heard some of the rumors around that, whatever.
Okay, where's the link to that article? Cause
yeah, come on, Matt. Don't be a friend of mine that likes to bring some shit up and not even have a link.
Wait. Stanley put up a link.
That was for the Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. All right, so back to the Comic-Con news. What's next?
Oh, wait, another piece of non-Comic-Con news. South Park's renewed for a 23rd season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, can't get enough of South Park.
Hell no.
I know. I've watched about 3.5 seasons of South Park in the 18 years it's been on the air.
19 this fall.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. I know some people plan their week around it. And, you know, it's cheaply done, of course, and they do manage to keep things in that's topical in the news when they put out a weekly programming because it's done in Flash, so, you know, it doesn't take long to render.
Well, as long as there's going to be topics and the world can, you know, the world's going by as it is, South Park's always going to have episodes and its own satirical takes and jabs, so... Go South Park! Alright, speaking of awards at Comic-Con, Joss Whedon got an award. He got an Icon Award.
Yes, finally he's being recognized for the genius he is after putting out the greatest film of all time, The Avengers.
Yes, Serenity!
Avengers. Serenity was a nice little indie film. Yeah, I liked it.
Not enough people, more people should have seen it.
That's why I say it's an indie film.
At the close of the Dark Horse, you know, this was at the end of his Dark Horse panel where Whedon was presented with San Diego Comic-Con International's Icon Award. He is the 9th recipient of this annual award, which is awarded to individuals in recognition of their efforts and greater awareness of comic books and other popular arts to a wider audience. Past recipients have included Ray Bradbury, Stan Lee, June Foray, and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, you know, heavy hitters of comics and pop culture, so and he deserves the honor, you know. Anybody who says otherwise ain't paying attention.
He said, thanks. That almost makes me, that almost makes up for having to listen to someone talk about how great I am.
Yep.
I like how artfully you scathe off J.J. Abrams. And he said, I didn't expect to be moved by this, but I am grateful. Thank you.
You know what news that got me excited? That Flash news that came out this week. Quite a bit of it. I'm going to let you read the stories, but let me go over the headlines. Okay? It's said that Flash is casting. They're bringing in Professor Zoom to be a villain for season 2. That is another reverse Flash that was a Wally West villain.
Okay, hold on. Eobard Thawne was Professor Zoom. That was his name as the reverse Flash. There is a different Zoom, simply called Zoom, that is Hunter Solomon.
Yeah, I know, Hunter Solomon, I know.
I was explaining for the audience.
And, of course, one of the people we've been waiting for since the beginning, Jay Garrick, is going to show. And they're going to debut Hawkgirl and Patty. So,
Patty Smith, yeah, at the big Warner Brothers DC television panel last night over at Hall H, a highlight reel. The first season was shown with the end of it with some new dialogue coming up of the second season with someone running around in a blue hat in a blue bald. Some people thought, oh, it's just Barry, just running so fast. No, it's Zoom. Zoom is coming to the Flash. He's going to be introduced very early on. And there's no. Hold on, let me bring up the story.
Well, they're saying that one, he's going to be faster than Barry. So,
Man, I love Hunter Solomon as Zoom, and I can't wait to see who the hell's going to.
But when we going to get poor Wally?
Yeah?
When are we going to get Wally?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. But also Hunter Solomon, in case you didn't know, was originally a friend of Wally West, who worked as a meta-human profiler for the Keystone City Police Department. And he was said by Andrew Kreisberg, he's going to be faster than the Reverse Flash, faster than the Flash, and it's going to be very hard to catch him. Zoom is going to be terrifying, and scary, and fast, and it's going to be all kinds of cool. There is no casting of Zoom.
Now, is this Zoom from the future too, or you just...
I mean
the comic book.
No, Zoom isn't from the future.
So he just got zapped and...
He recreated the events that led to... Yeah, because he was like, I'm gonna be the Flash, so all of you can suck it.
You know, every time I get zapped by I just get third degree burns, so I don't get why I can't get speed powers.
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of, they mentioned multiverse is going to be a huge factor into events of season 2, and Wally West is going to be in season 2. Wally West is going to be there. No casting as of yet. Although we now know Chantel Van Santen of The Messengers and The Final Destination will be playing Patty Spivot, a police officer and scientist enthusiast who catches the eye of Barry Allen. And playing Jay Garrick will be of tonight's returning Masters of Sex, Teddy Sears.
Now, why are they going to act like that Barry going to end up with some other chick? You know you're going to end up with Iris.
Yeah, why? I'm not a fan of Patty being brought on as a love interest.
I mean, look what they did to what you call him. I mean,
Iris.
Not Iris.
Linda.
Linda Park. Just dumped on her. Brought her in, got us all excited and stuff, and then sent the packing. Didn't he show up for the end of the series? Just incredibly disrespectful.
Well, Shears will be taking on the role, saying, Jay is a mysterious figure who arrives in Central City to warn Barry Allen and his team at Star Labs of an impending danger that he alone cannot hope to stop. And Earth 2, where Jay Garrick will originate from, is going to be on the show this season. We're going to explore Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was also announced Hawkgirl will make a debut. Her proper debut on the second season. Renee, actress, Sierra Renee confirmed, saying, I know I'll definitely be on The Flash. I know she gets reincarnated, so hopefully we'll get to see some kind of some of her past lives. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, it's best to introduce her first before Legends Tomorrow starts. So you don't have to wonder who she is and what, you know, how she fits in. You already know that going in. So.
Absolutely. But also, at the panel beforehand was Stephen Amell, or should I say the Green Arrow.
In his new costume for
in his
season,
new costume,
season 4.
Proclaiming that they that Comic-Con has not failed their city, and that Star City, not Starling City, Star City still needs protecting, and he will do so as the Green Arrow. So, it is coming. The Green Arrow is officially there, and protecting Star City, and I and a bunch of fans can't help but be excited by that. What do you think?
I'm just hoping that when the season comes back, him and Felicity have broken up and she came to her senses and got some better man than him. You know, I don't like their pairing. I disapprove.
Why?
Because it makes her weak.
Oh, the Felicity?
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully they can fix her character.
I mean, you know, I'm watching the repeats for the summer, you know. And she just whined like the whole season. And, like, I thought it was just the second half, but no, she whined it during the whole season. It was like everything was like, Oliver's in trouble. Oliver's dead. Oliver's leaving me. Oh, Oliver. I can't be with Oliver, so let me sleep with this hot guy with the suit. Well, I'm going to hurt him because I want all of it. Sorry. You excited about Pacific Rim 2 filming this fall?
Hell yeah.
Is this a prequel or a
sequel?
Sequel. Okay, so.
Great sequel.
So they're going to open up another hole somewhere and more creatures are going to start piling out.
We don't know shit. Well, there's no story detail. There is only we're gonna film in the fall.
Okay, well, I'm just speculating, you know. Unless this is Pacific Rim, the Wonder Years. I don't know.
Yeah, but also speaking about the DC TV panel, the Supergirl pilot was shown for everyone in attendance.
Well, we're gonna be honest. We've seen it already.
Yeah.
And it got leaked, and then it kind of was okay to look at it. And, you know, the positive word was getting out anyway from the people that did watch it. So, what's the reaction to it?
It's been getting great positive buzz around Comic-Con.
I would get rid of the one guy, though. That's the friend at the newspaper. He just
are you a Catco?
Yeah, is that his name? Papers. Who? What's the guy that she tells his secret to? It's like, is he supposed to be like the gay friend or something? Or
no, he's not gay. He's not gay.
I didn't say he is, but I'm just saying, like,
no. You saw the pilot. He's crushing after her.
Right. I'm saying, like, if
I don't remember the character. That's one of my flaws with the.
Now let me tell you. If I had the hots for this woman, and then she tells me she's Supergirl, well, that you know, you're not telling me unless we go somewhere, because I'm not gonna sit back and you know, crush on you and know your secret at the same time. But that's just me, you know. So they showed the pilot. People liked it. Anything else on that?
People are reacting well. Mashad Brooks, before it happened, showed off his abs because
Mekhi Brooks.
Mekhi Brooks. I'm always getting that name fucked up. Anyway, yeah, Gotham had a panel. Apparently Cameron Monaghan was there in the audience and surprised everyone, grabbing the mic saying, "How high is your pain tolerance? I'm going to find you." And about, you know, Gordon's pain tolerance, because that's a poorly done version of the Joker. Also, it was announced at part of the Arrow, Mr. Terrific is coming on the show. Is coming on Arrow.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, does he fit on that show?
What?
I said, does he fit on that show?
I think he will.
Okay.
I think he could. Mr. Terrific's going to be on there. This and apparently this version of the character will be gay.
Why are you gonna be gay?
I don't. No shit.
The third smartest man in the world is gay.
What's wrong with that?
Because he's the third smartest man. Why can't he be, you know?
He can be whatever the hell he wants, man.
My God, gays are everywhere. They're smart. Look, I mean, they're smart. Listen, the gay people are smart enough as it is. They don't have to be the third smartest person.
Look, I don't care if this version of the character is gay. What I care about is if Mr. Terrific is, well, terrifically well done from the comics. Also, Anarchy will be on the show as well.
So is he going to hit on Oliver?
That was lame and you know it. I don't know. Like I got it.
So did they announce who's playing Mr. Terrific?
No.
Who do you think would make a good Mr. Terrific?
Tyler James Williams. But I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. I really can't think of someone right now.
Why Tyler James Williams? Because he plays somebody gay and
no.
Dear White People?
No, that's kind of like the first thing that comes... That's kind of like the first person that came to my mind.
Okay.
You asked, I answered.
Okay. Stick to your conviction. Stick to your guns.
Well, speaking of The Flash, it was announced today that there are going to be two new additions to the Earth One line at DC, the series of graphic novels that are new introductory points, revisionings of origins of several DC heroes. They've done Batman, they've done... Two volumes of Batman, three volumes of Superman, and speaking of Superman, Superman Earth One writer will be taking The Flash Earth One. J. Michael Straczynski. Straczynski told a packed room of 300 fans that Earth One will focus on Barry Allen, and that should hit shelves next year.
You know, these Earth One books, you would have thought they would have been putting more out by now.
Yeah, but they're original graphic novels, so they might take some longer preparation and time, since it's a full one-and-done story.
I understand that, but it's been, what, 3 years now since the original came out? 3-4 years?
Well, they're still producing them, so... And Johns is already apparently at work on Batman Earth 1 Volume 3. Straczynski said it's a very different take on the character, and, he's very excited about it. He also has a side note. He was talking about his TV series Sense8, talking about the possibilities of a renewal and all that. Aquaman will be the other one, also getting an Earth One book. Mm-hmm. This one being done by superstar artist and writer Francis Manapul. Who is taking on both writing and art duties.
That's good. Nice. How many... We still talking about Earth One, right?
I just talked about the Earth One story.
No, I mean, what? Just now, what were you talking about?
Flash and Aquaman Earth One.
Right, so, how many have you read? That's what I wanted to ask.
I haven't read any of them.
Oh, okay.
I haven't read any of them yet.
Okay.
How many have you read?
I read half of one.
Which one?
The first Batman.
Well, was it good?
From what I read, yeah, it was good. You know, you had Alfred, who didn't start off as a butler. He was hired to protect Wayne's, and he failed on that. And then, of course, when they was like, "Who's gonna take care of this kid?" He's like, "Well, I'll be the butler." And so, You know, of course, he taught Batman how to kick ass and.
Cool. That's awesome. Now, right, why don't you go with the next story?
You know, quite a few trailers, of course, came out this weekend at Comic-Con. You know, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. But that was the only one we got to see legally. Now, The Hill is Reborn has come out. That's coming on TV. The Vixen trailer. But the ones that got the most buzz, one was a leaked Suicide Squad, which we talked about.
Yeah.
But the biggest one that got the most buzz was the Deadpool trailer.
Which I took a look at.
I've seen it too. Now, of course, the Deadpool trailer does have the scene which everybody has had to have seen by now, where he jumps off the overpass into the car and kills a bunch of people. But yeah, the trailer shows him before he's Deadpool and being talked into going over the procedure and how it's going to change him. And once he becomes Deadpool, you know, he becomes this smart ass talker. The violence is pretty brutal.
Oh, it's magically brutal.
And the only thing is, you know, okay, you see his face and it's fucked up, but it's not as fucked up as you would imagine it is in the comic book. But, you know, they don't want to make Ryan Reynolds look too unattractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then did he look like the Deadpool from Wolverine, you think?
What, the in costume?
Like when you saw him without the mask on.
He looked very different.
Okay, just.
Well, I'm assuming as it should. It's ignoring that. Unless, and like in a real meta way, like I always imagined, like in a real meta sense of Deadpool, it would open with him watching X-Men Origins Wolverine and walking out and saying, like, "What a piece of shit."
This is how it really happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that'd be cool. That'd be a great way to open it. But honestly, I got excited by this trailer. It looks like they understand Deadpool. They get the character. They understand. They respect the source material. They want to give fans what they want, as well as make a good movie to themselves. So,
yeah, everybody act like I'm
going to say, I think this is the best thing to come out of Comic-Con this year.
Everybody's acting like this is like the first hard R comic book.
Well, it's not.
It's not. I mean, okay, why is there a link to the Rent EM page, Stan Lee? I'm confused. Why did you link me to a page I'm already on? Yeah. Anyway, come on now. Trad 3D, that was some hard R shit.
Blade 2.
No, Blade and Blade 2 wasn't hard R. It was, you know, it was good. They were violent films, but it wasn't that Dread 3D.
I mean, Don't get me wrong. Dread 3D was a hell of a lot more. Was more brutal. It really was, and it honestly fit.
I haven't watched that film over and over. I mean, I never get tired of watching. Mama's not the law. I'm the law. And of course, I'm just when they get into that fight with those drug dealers in that one room early on, you watching through these high eyes and that the drug just slows everything down. Oh man, it's just so graphic. So your Deadpool got a lot to live up to. You think how hard of a R you think Fox is willing to go on this?
I think pretty hard.
I mean, hard enough where, like, they're not, like, the theaters will get the word, don't let no kids into this.
Like that, like they'll actually card and give a shit?
Yeah, well, they're supposed to.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, it's kind of, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. It's kind of hard because, you know, with multiplexes, you can always just go buy a ticket to Casper and walk into the Deadpool movie.
Yeah, but, you know, We're in America where parents are going to be totally fine taking their kid to see something that's incredibly violent, a fountain of blood, a bloodbath. That's totally fine for them to see, but you know, they see a nipple or any sort of sexual thing, they're gonna freak the fuck out. And like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna say this: you kind of gave up that right to be freaked out by this when you say violence is okay for your kid to see, but sex, screw you.
Well,
screw you.
Hey, nipples are a dangerous thing.
Apparently, according to America, I guess.
Yeah, it is. You ever touch one of those things? They hurt.
I've touched a nipple. I've touched my own nipple.
No, they see, your own won't hurt you.
You don't know that.
No, I do know that.
You don't know that.
Never mind. I'm not going to tell people what I do with mine. But anyway, let's move on. Because they didn't call. They didn't listen to. We got a caller. 540, you're on the air. Who's this?
What's up, sir? It's Kid Human. Scott.
Scott! Kid
Hello.
Human. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, we're working hard all weekend for you. The people.
What you want to do? I'm giving up my dinner time right now for you people as well.
So now it's past dinner time.
So what you want to talk about?
Oh, I was going to talk about, you know, she's talking about the rating on the Deadpool trailer being rated R.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is if you get a soft R rating, you might as well just go back and make it a hard R rating and go all the way, because it ain't going to change anything.
So what to you would make it a hard R? I mean, like, what do you want to see?
I want to see a body count. You ever seen the movie Shoot 'Em Up?
Yes, I've seen Shoot 'Em Up.
Love that movie.
I mean, the movie just was the title, Shoot 'Em Up. There was like a 200 body count in that movie. We need to see something like that.
Was that the one with Clive Owens?
Yes, when he's killing people with carrots. Yep.
Yeah, he's basically Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. That's what Deadpool needs to be. It needs to be either that or a lot of violent deaths.
And how much of a story do you need? I mean, like, if he's just cutting off heads and body parts and the story doesn't make sense, would you be satisfied, or you need something in depth to think about when you walk out?
It's Deadpool, so you don't need much of a story.
Just humor.
You need a story.
Just humor and blood, huh?
You need a story, but it doesn't need much of a story. Mm-hmm. You need the background. He's an assassin. Go kill. That's it. That's what it is for me. That movie is going to be... I'm not going to take it seriously because, you know, it's Deadpool.
Well, there are people I know that do take Deadpool seriously because it is honestly their favorite character, and... I think you look, when you're adapting something, you should take it seriously, even with something like Deadpool.
Nah, I don't think Marvel's going to be too happy about a hard R movie. Because, you know, even though right now they don't have the rights, you know, if they had the rights, they would want Deadpool to be something that kids could love and understand. So.
Yeah, well, kids already love and understand Deadpool just fine. Kill.
I mean, he's
kill, sarcastic, fourth wall breaking humor. They're talking to them.
I mean, like you can only say the F word so many times before it gets an R rating, and the trailer I heard it at least four times.
Oh no, at R you just be like, you just say fuck, 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 fuckity, fuck, 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 as many times as you want in an R rated movie. Have you not seen a Martin Scorsese movie?
No, I'm saying between PG-13 and R, you just
okay.
Like,
PG-13, you can get maybe one or two.
You know how you make a movie hard R? Whip out a cigarette. But anyway,
oh dear God, they're smoking.
I hope Ryan Reynolds. This is like the movie that is a breakout for him. I mean, like once it comes out next year. I hope it's like received well and it puts out big numbers that first weekend. Because it could be one of those things where, like, a hardcore fan base go out and see it, but nobody else goes to see it. And then, you know, it made, like, $12 million. And it had a budget of, like, $65 million, and it's just, that makes it a failure. And I feel like Ryan Reynolds. I think he needs a hit badly because his movie just came out this week, Selfless. It's only made like $5.3 million, and it's like, well, fuck him. I mean, he gets all the hot women anyway. So he was married to Scarlett Johansson, and now he's married to Blake Lively. So
there you go. But I mean, his Green Lantern was just trash.
Well, because sorry, let me cut you off. Go ahead.
I mean, he's not had a good, like you said, a good string of movies for a while.
They casted him in the wrong role as far as Green Lantern. He would have been better as Wally West Flash than Green Lantern.
Well, he would have been better as Wally West or, say, Kyle Rayner if they wanted to keep him with Green Lantern.
And, enough of Green Lantern. We've lived through that dreck. Anyway, they're going to hopefully make up for it with the Green Lantern Corps in 2020. That's when it's due out, right?
2019,
okay.
Also, at that same panel was, some X-Men stuff. Like, there was some footage shown of what's been filmed so far. The X-Men Apocalypse with a good, clear, full look at what Oscar Isaac's Apocalypse looks like.
I have not seen one X-Men movie.
Dude, why not?
Okay, here's what you watch. Watch the first two, then First Class, and then Days of Future Past.
Listen,
and then
Hugh Jackman,
Wolverine, and that's it.
Hugh Jackman has, I don't know why you don't like him, but as Wolverine, he's gotten better at that role with each movie outside of the first solo Wolverine, which wasn't his fault. But, that last Wolverine movie, that was some badass shit.
But Days of Future Past?
No, the Wolverine. But Days of Future Past, he was good in that too. So, like, what was it about him, because he sings and dance or something, or...
No, I just never liked him as an actor. I just never, I don't know.
What have you seen?
Something about him I don't like.
What have you seen him in?
A lot of his early stuff. I mean,
before the X-Men, you mean?
It's been a while since I've seen a movie with him. I've seen him in that, the one with Jake Gyllenhaal, was it, where they had the kidnapped kids? I thought he was all right in that.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, I can't remember. Prisoners was the name of the movie, I think?
Prisoners, yes.
Yeah, other than that, that's like the last movie I saw him in.
You think he got out in Prisoners? You think they found him?
What's that?
You think they found him in Prisoners?
No, I think he died down there.
Nah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I think he died down there. They pulled the car over and nobody was listening for him.
Yeah, I mean, I like the movie, but when that ending happened and you don't know whether he's going to get, found or not, I mean, that's fucked up. The list came out of all the comic book movies that was going to come out between now and 2020. It's an updated list. Of course, starting with this year, for the rest of the year, we got July 17th, Ant-Man, August 7th, Fantastic Four, 2016, Deadpool, again, February 12th, March 25th, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, May 6th, Captain America Civil War, May 27th, X-Men Apocalypse, August 5th, Suicide Squad, October 7th, Gambit, November 4th, Doctor Strange. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 movies.
Yeah.
2017, Untitled Wolverine sequel, which is a speculation that that could be an Old Man Logan story.
That was not a speculation. Apparently that is confirmed. Hugh Jackman made a surprise appearance during the 20th Century Fox panel, where Fantastic Four also presented, but there wasn't much anything new out of that, except the new trailer, which isn't being shown or leaked online, but whatever. He came on and said that first there was an X-Men sizzle reel after the Fantastic Four and Deadpool panels that ended with Hugh Jackman's audition reel for very first one for X-Men. And then he came on stage and lamented and said thank you to the fans, as well as announced that he is indeed hanging up the claws very soon and says, I've got three words for you guys. Old man, love you, read into that what you will.
So, how do you think they're going to adopt this? Because, like, most of the characters in the Old Man Logan story, they can't use. So, I mean,
James Mangold is still confirmed to direct the movie.
Right. You can still do the whole thing that most of the X-Men are dead, and he's responsible for it because somebody fucked with him and made him think that he was fighting off villains, and then when it was done, he wiped out the X-Men, and he's living all alone in the shack with a family, and people just won't leave him alone. And he goes on the road trip, and then he just ends up killing people. And that, fine, it's just
you can take it a different way. Also, let's be thankful now for that, since we won't get Hulk's incestuous hillbilly grandchildren.
Right. So
let's be thankful for that.
So the rest of the movies. November, May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. June 2nd, Fantastic Four.
Are we
going to
go over this whole schedule?
Yes, we are.
That's like years and years.
That's right.
I wish you would have told me you were going to do that.
Oh, Jordan.
Hey, I said if you want to add something, add it on.
It's not ahead. Follow my lead, okay? Now, before I was rudely interrupted. June 2nd, Fantastic Four 2. June 23rd, Wonder Woman! Finally gonna get that Gal Gadot Wonder Woman movie. July 26th will be the new Marvel Sony Spider-Man film. November 3rd, Thor Ragnarok. I'm looking forward to that. November 17th, Justice League Part 1. And then it's going to come out in 2017, but doesn't have a release date. Bloodshot, which is a Valiant book with Sony Studio. 2018, March 23rd, The Flash. May 4th, part one of the greatest film to ever come out, Avengers Infinity War Part 1. July 6th, Black Panther, okay? Finally, the black man's taking over. July 13th, Untitled Mystery Fox Marvel film. So that could be the speculated X-Men Fantastic Four crossover. Who knows?
It could be. Do you think this new Fantastic Four is going to go over?
I can't. No, I always hope these movies are good. I mean, I don't want them to be bad. So, I'll check it out. I'll let you know. You know, I always do a review of comic book movies, and so I'll try to see Fantastic Four. Hopefully, you'll be.
So how do you feel about the casting, though?
I don't mind the casting of Fantastic Four.
The only casting that I may see a problem with, but if he pulls it off, then the movie's gonna be fine. It's Reed Richards' character. I mean, like the guy they picked, he's a pretty good young actor, but I don't know if he can play someone as serious as Reed Richards. You know,
I think he can.
Well, we'll find out in a couple of weeks. So
again, you'll listen to me and Surfer's full thoughts on that, as well as Ant-Man, very, very soon.
Let's see, July 20th will be a Spider-Man animated feature by Sony. Now, I hope that they go get the Spectacular Spider-Man group to make this movie. And then I'm there. I'll go see it in the theaters. Because if it's... Not that I hate Ultimate Spider-Man, but it's nothing Ultimate... Nothing about that show I would go to a movie theater and pay money for.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Spider-Man animated film.
Oh. Okay. Oh, right. That
okay. Yeah. July 27th, Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas, Seas. November 2nd, Captain Marvel. Finally, Marvel's going to have a female character on screen.
Well, in Marvel, that is, we've had female superheroes before.
Yeah, I said Marvel.
Yeah, said, Marvel's done it too.
Who?
Elektra.
Oh, well, no, Marvel hasn't done it.
Okay, was, Marvel Studios.
No, that wasn't Marvel Studios. That was Fox.
Okay, we're talking. I'm talking Marvel Studios doing it right now.
Marvel Studios, yeah.
All right, let's get through so we can get to the rest of the news.
2019, Shazam! You know what? I always thought his transformation is like the coolest of all transformation. Him and the Cap in the Marvel's Captain Marvel, not the female one, but the original Captain Marvel. Those are the two. Yeah. May 3rd, Avengers: Infinity War Part 2, which will complete the cycle, and then the world can come to an end at that point. It won't matter to me. June 14th, Justice League Part 2. That'll be an interesting battle to see which of those two movies bring in the bucks. July 12th, Inhumans. And in 2020, we have Cyborg. And on April 3rd and June 19th, Green Lantern Corps. And of course, there'll be more movies added. What were you saying,
Do you think the Inhumans is going to be based on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. version of the Inhumans, or...
Well, no, they're going to do the Royal Family, so...
Royal Family. Like the Paul Jenkins, Jai Lee run.
I'm not zooming in on a run. I'm just saying they're going to...
I mean the characters from that run.
They're going to do the Black Bolt, Medusa, you know...
That's who was in there. Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about, the Royal Family.
Yeah.
Because
Maximus the Mad and Crystal. So now that's we do say this every year that they can pull that off. But in humans, if it gets half the buzz Guardians got, they'll be alright, they'll be fine. Now Jordan, did the world come to an end just now? Huh?
No.
So then why are you getting upset that I was reading it?
Because that was just you. Because that kind of just killed a few, lot of times.
It did not. Me and Key Human. Listen, me and Key Human was talking here, okay? And you were being rude.
I was being quiet, you dick.
No, you got upset. You yelled at me. You just called me a name now.
Okay, look, I'm just saying, I really didn't see why we needed to spout off the whole schedule. Okay, look, what I would have suggested, you do a year, then a news item, then another year, then another news item.
Listen, people need to mark the calendars, okay? It's important, They gotta make plans. They gotta know ahead of time.
Okay, but I'm just saying, to me personally, I understand you override me. That's fine, because you're the big cheese.
If I don't book my dates in 2018... then something could come up, somebody could ask me out on a date, and then I'd be like, okay, I got a date here, I got a movie to go to, which one, I don't want to be in that situation, so, sorry.
Fine, I'm just saying, we just could have said, you can go here to find a full schedule, or, I just really didn't see why we needed this to list off the full schedule on the air, myself personally.
Okay, Matt E's saying that he thinks that Shazam will not happen.
He says, he bets $100, so this is official. We're holding you to it.
Come on now. The Rock's attached to it. They're going to do a Shazam movie, okay? And, how can they not do a Shazam movie? It's a kid-friendly franchise they could take advantage of.
By the way, Surfer, I apologize if I was rude to you. I'm sorry.
All right, Starscream. What's the next news?
Okay, fuck you, Megatron.
See what you see? You see what I put up with?
Yeah, you call me Starscream.
Insubordination. Okay.
He just admitted he's your master.
Because I need to stroke Surfer's ego, or else he'll get sad. there will be another crossover with Batman 69. Batman 66 will meet will crossover with IDW with John Steed and Emma Peel of the British Avengers, the TV show from the 1960s.
You know, that kind of makes sense.
They
could cross over, but...
Well, DiDio says, like, you know, regarding that crossover, Batman 66 is locked in a period of time, and who he meets is locked into that time period. I can't think of anyone more fun than those guys.
Yeah, I think that might be worth picking up.
I'm a big fan of both, so yeah, I'm up for it. Speaking of comics, two new books were announced. First off, don't fret, people. Squirrel Girl's gonna be around for all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, she was...
That's one of the more popular books right now.
She had momentum, and, so...
Yep, it's a very popular book. It'll continue on with writer Ryan North and artist Erica Henderson, announced today at the Women of Marvel panel.
I'm surprised they didn't put her on the new Avengers, the all new, all different Avengers book with the rest of the kids.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. If they wanted to put her on there, fine. If not, whatever. Although we heard rumors of Blade this week.
So sorry, let me go back. The book now, you've read the book now, right? Squirrel Girl?
Yeah, I'm reading it.
Is she still babysitting?
No. She's in college.
So she's no longer babysitting the baby?
No.
Oh my God. They gave her a job as a babysitter and she just walked away from that job?
She's in college.
How ungrateful of that squirrel.
How dare she go and further her education and try to live a normal life? What a bitch.
And then think about the baby. Think about Luke Cage's baby. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
As I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. There will be a new Blade ongoing book this October, written by Tim Seeley and drawn by Logan Fairbear. The all-new Blade ongoing series will feature the title character teaming up with his teenage daughter, a seemingly normal high school student named Fallon Gray. Poster was released saying there's a new hunter in town, and she's raising the stakes.
Okay, that brings up a lot of questions. Because when did Blade have time to have loving relationships with anybody? Like he's so single-minded.
You know, we don't see their entire lives on panel. They can do stuff all, you know, when we're not reading the book.
No, I'm just saying, Blade is so single-minded and seeking out vampires that when did he ever stop? Well, I mean, unless he, you know, I don't even see him paying for company. It's like, when did he stop and say, you know what? I've been around for 100+ years. I haven't got laid in the last 75. Let me get mine in real quick before I go back to hunting vampires.
You know, hey, you know, they got to release stress. And, you know, getting together with a lady or doing it by yourself is a great way of relieving stress, calms you down, makes you a little level-headed, works out whatever you got built up inside. And, you know, Blade recognizes that.
And
he
then,
does.
So, it's just... I know you don't know yet, but this is one of those things where it's like he discovers he got a daughter. Like somebody's like, "Yeah, well, you know, remember that night at the Jay-Z concert? You know, we had a good time." Well,
I'm about to read statements from Seeley, who said he's drawing on the '70s Marvel Monster magazines for this book. And by the way, the daughter will be 16. He said, "My goals is to make the monsters scary again, the way they were to me. I think too often with modern horror, the reader knows too many of the rules, and that makes vampires and zombies less frightening. Blade's going against stuff he's never seen before, and I want the reader to be afraid to hide. And I want the reader to be afraid to hide under their beds." Seeley, of course, the co-writer of Grayson, who's also dealing with his own Marvel book, the ever-being Tom King, who will be taking over the Vision. Blade's co-star is his Fallon Gray. Says Celia realizes that a high school girl fighting vampires will never be compared to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but he actually said he swore he avoided watching. So he said, "While I think high school girl fights monsters will always invite Buffy comparisons, I'd like to think my blissful ignorance will at least keep me from hearing too close to Joss Whedon's work. My take on Fallon is that she is an anti-Peter Parker. She's popular, well-liked, and everyone around her thinks she has the future by the balls, but those kind of expectations come with their own stresses, and part of Fallon's story will be dealing with what people expect her to be." And from what I'm seeing and hearing, it seems like Blade is well aware he has a daughter.
What's your thoughts, Kid Human?
You can't have a daughter.
But, why not?
I don't know.
Because we don't,
like you said, it's like, I mean, I guess it, just because you don't see it on screen or read about it doesn't mean it didn't happen, but you got to have some backup, background story to it in some fashion.
Well, Seeley did an interview with CBR, and he also talked about their initial dynamic, saying, initially, their relationship is all about what they share, a stubborn refusal to change or see new viewpoints. They'll be completely and totally antagonistic, and the fun will be seeing whenever a guy like Blade can become a father and whenever a girl like Fallon can become a student and a daughter.
Listen, I don't have a problem he has a daughter. I just, like I said, I don't see him stopping to get it in. I mean, he's like, where's the next vampire?
Everyone finds time, Surfer. Everybody finds time.
And then
I love how you're thinking too hard.
I'm thinking he might like explode in the bed with somebody. Like he's going like 5 decades, and all of a sudden he's just like a beast. I'd be afraid of that. What woman slept with him? And then what would attract him to a woman in the first place? I mean,
like a man out of prison.
Hey, you know, maybe, you know what? Maybe Blade is a real charismatic man to relate.
Maybe
he really has good confidence, knows how to hold himself, and can really say the right things.
Maybe the mother's Nebuchadnezzar right. You know? Maybe that's the mother. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Could you say that? You're kind of coming.
I said maybe the mother is Nebuchadnezzar right.
Oh, really? That's who you think it is?
Maybe. I mean, maybe got it in after Blade 1, you know? And
maybe. I mean, they have not given any, and there's no indication as to who the mother is.
I mean, she was half vampire at some point. Maybe he said, well, she can handle it. Let me leave her a parting gift. And then, like, you know, he went to Russia and then came back years later. It's like, here's your daughter. Take care of her. Teach her how to kill. I don't know. That's why we speculate. All right, I know you want to move on, Jordan, because you're no fun. So what's the next story you want to talk about?
Oh, shut up. Okay, you see, that's... Okay, you got to stop with that, because you know I am, and it's starting to get on my nerves, saying
that. You're no fun?
Jordan. Oh, make me the bad guy. Okay, fine. I'll do that. Fine. I will stroke your ego again. Surfer is the greatest.
I don't need my ego stroke. I already know that. But anyway.
No, I'm kidding. Look, people. Did me we, and Server love we, each other. It's just...
We mentioned the Maxwell Lord. Did we read it? Did we go over that
no,
story?
No, I said the Eisner Award link.
Right, I know. I'm saying...
No, we didn't bring it up.
Okay.
It was also announced that Supergirl part of the panel that Maxwell Lord has been canceled and Peter Facchini...
Isn't it Finelli?
Finelli, what out? It doesn't. Okay, fine. Finelli is casted as Maxwell Lord in the upcoming Supergirl character. And if you don't know who Maxwell Lord is, he is best known as a supporting character from the Justice League International. The official description for the show by Warner Bros. TV reads, "Maxwell is a green tech billionaire who enjoys a friendly rivalry with Cat Grant. Fascination with National City's newest arrival, Supergirl."
Okay, so the questions are, does Maxwell Lord bring up Checkmate in the series?
No. They haven't said anything about Checkmate.
No, I'm not saying they did. I'm saying you think that...
I think they will. I think that's the company he'll own. And for those that don't know, also Lord was a mostly heroic, albeit humorously self-serving, in Justice League and at JLI before he took a noticeable villainous turn in Countdown to Infinite Crisis way back in 2005.
And Wonder Woman had to snap his neck.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't bring in Max Award. Look, I keep saying Ward. Lord, without at some point Checkmate getting involved, but
well, we don't know yet.
And then
on the wiki page, you see a picture of Wonder Woman snapping his neck.
And then, of course, him killing a Blue Beetle.
Ted Kord, not Jaime Reyes.
All right. Well, we're excited for Wonder Woman. Did you see Supergirl? Did you see the Supergirl pilot yet?
No.
What's out there? It's not hard to find, so.
Well, I'll find it.
So what's up with the robot chicken story, Jordan?
I'm about to tell you. And by the way, I do apologize if I'm... What?
Are they doing another Star Wars one?
No. It's the first DC comic special, Robot Chicken.
Oh.
Magical Friendship. But this time revolves around Batman and Superman being at odds, even going to a couples therapy session, you know, as friends with to Dr. Fate, which, by the way, is my favorite gag in the whole trailer. Dr. Fate as a psychiatrist. That is awesome, also because it's Dr. Fate.
Now, I like Robot Chicken.
It'll feature, and it's about it's gonna involve the multiverse. That's its biggest thing. And it'll feature voices from Adam West, Burt Ward, Alfred Molina, Nathan Fillion, Seth Green, Weird Al Yankovic, Mae Whitman. And it'll premiere this fall on Adult Swim.
Now, I like Robot Chicken, but not every season is worth watching. I'm surprised it's still on the air after all this time. What season is it Robot Chicken going into?
I can't even tell you right now.
I think it's like the 10th, at least.
It's been 10 seasons? Wow.
At least because they did the Star Wars special when Revenge of the Sith came out.
Well, I do love Robot Chicken a lot.
My favorite Robot Chicken episode was the one they did with Cobra, and they was roasting Cobra Commander.
Oh, I thought you were about to say The Office when they did it with...
And I think it was like an undercover G.I. Joe guy. He started ripping on Commander and ripping on everybody. And he just said some outrageous shit. As far as the specials go, they're always usually good. Is this a
half hour?
No, is this original special or just
it's original.
Because sometimes these specials just been stuff they already did in other shows, and they just...
Well, it's a mixture. They take some old sketches and they work them in, and they work them around the newer ones they're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of half and half. But just to answer your question, it started in 2005, so it's 10 years old.
Damn, time is flying.
Yeah.
I guess because, you know, the seasons don't last long, and it's, you know, short little show, which...
Well, it's because of all the time that goes into stop motion.
Right, but
there's been 7 seasons, so they didn't do, like, one every year.
Oh,
so
okay.
Number of seasons is 7.
Yeah, you gotta take time off, because of because of everyone's schedule, because of all the people involved in their other projects, as well as, again, stop motion. I mean, it's a great art form, but holy fuck, is it ever time consuming?
Yeah, it takes years to make a 10-minute episode.
I imagine each episode takes a whole month to film, or something like that.
There's been 139 episodes and 9 different specials.
We've had all those, Christmas special, the Star Wars, DC Comics ones, and,
the Star Wars one was hilarious.
I liked the second Star Wars one best, honestly, where Palpatine gets the idea of hiring bounty hunters, and there's that Stormtrooper Gary that struggles with bring your daughter to work day on the fucking Death Star.
Yeah.
I was like, why? Why did you do this? I mean, I love the absurdity. I really do, but why?
Or the AT-AT driver taking a dump when Luke throws the bomb in there.
You gotta give it to Seth Green. He can get people to make fun of themselves. I mean, he got George Lucas to come on there and voice himself while they made fun of him, so.
Yeah, even Whedon. And it's like, ah, so you want to come back to the Whedonverse. You actually call it the Whedonverse. Huh.
The Emperor, what the hell is an aluminum falcon?
I believe it's Millennium Falcon, sir.
Yeah.
And hello, Pastor Shadow. And I will apologize if I'm seeing me and Server a little bit more antagonistic. It's just, I'm tired. I'll fully admit, this is my fault. I'm fucking tired as shit. I've had to sit in... Look, I know my job is to sit in front of a computer all day and write as part of my job, but... Man, Comic-Con, this is like taking extra effort, and I'm kind of glad we are nearly done with this. Comic-Con, I love you, but...
You want next week off, Jordan?
Nah. I just need to recharge my battery. Good,
I was going to give you six months off, but anyway.
No, you will not, because I helped put this show together, and you know it. We got one last trailer, and you know I love you, Surfer. Come here. Mwah. There you go. We have one last trailer for Comic-Con. It was at today's Uncle Grandpa and Regular Show panel. Regular Show the movie.
You know what? I do not relate to Cartoon Network at all at this point. Outside of some Saturday night, you know, anime here and there, and Pokemon on Saturday morning.
So you're not watching Steven Universe?
No.
You disappoint me so hard right now.
Well, you know, I didn't grow up in the same era as you guys, so these types of cartoons don't compute.
Steven Universe is the best animated show on TV right now. I'm going to say it right here.
Okay, well, that little kid gets on my nerves, so I couldn't watch it.
You know what gets on my nerves? Uncle Grandpa. Uncle Grandpa gets on my nerves.
Listen, I can't watch Uncle Grandpa. I can't watch a regular show. I can't watch Adventure Time.
The best thing that they ever did was Adventure Brothers.
I can't watch Adventure Time.
What about Swim?
No, there is two shows I do watch on Cartoon Network. Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Oh yeah, that's good. Wait, that's still Adult Swim.
And Black Jesus.
Okay, those are both Adult Swim shows. Right. Those aren't Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I know. But it's still part of the Cartoon Network. But
I love both. All right,
so the regular Cartoon Network.
Black Jesus is great. I'm not gonna lie, but I do love Black Jesus. And Mike Tyson's Mysteries, but I will say on regular Cartoon Network, the best show is Steven Universe, and I also still love Adventure Time and Regular Show. But and speaking of Regular Show, back to the Regular Show movie, which I think may have sort of been called Regular Movie, sake of titling, whatever. It'll appear to air on Cartoon Network in November, sometime this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I do still like Regular Show, although I think its recent turn with its main character and story may not be the best. That's just me. And now there was a Batman panel.
There's always a Batman panel.
Yeah, but this is about Batman comic books.
Yeah, there's always a Batman comic book panel.
Yeah, on Saturday with the current team behind the best book at DC. Writer Scott Snyder, artist Greg Capullo, and editor of not just this book, but the big editor of all the Batman books, Mark Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going over the recent, Commissioner Gordon, Jim Gordon as Batman in the mech suit. And more so talking openly about the recent 42nd issue, which featured the furthering adventures of that, and to reveal that Bruce Wayne is alive. By the way, spoilers. Bruce Wayne is alive, but seemingly keeping a black, a low profile. I don't know why I said black. I must have been looking at Pastor Citadel's Black Jesus comment in the fucking chat. keeping a low profile. And apparently at the end of the issue, Gordon finds Bruce and says, "Oh, what are you doing in my shop? Look, you're Batman, I'm Batman. And we clearly need to talk." And they went into further detail about the upcoming new villain, Mr. Bloom, who is touched upon in this issue. Batman number 43 will be all about Mr. Bloom, latest villain created by Scott Snyder, as well as diving into the furthering the character of Robin Duke, of soon to be Robin Duke Thomas, that Snyder is introducing and is leading the current We Are Robin book.
Pastor Dub, not been a Family Guy guy. I've seen the episode, I'll watch it if it's on TV, and there's nothing else on, but yeah, I'm not a big Family Guy guy either, so.
I hate Family Guy now. I can't stand Family Guy.
I don't like the way they treat the daughter. She's fine. They need to leave her alone. You know, she's hot. You know, they treat her like shit.
I liked Family Guy. There was a time where I really enjoyed it, and there may be a joke or two I hear about that they do that'll get a good chuckle out of me, but Family Guy as itself, I honestly hate it now. I cannot stand it. Me personally, that's just me. If you like it, that's great, but me...
I just watch it because same reason I still watch The Simpsons. Just had an old habit. It's like a train wreck I can't turn away from.
Well, I still expect I expect something from The Simpsons. I still expect some good humor and some nice timely jabs by Simpsons. With Family Guy, I don't expect anything now. So, that was at the panel for Batman, also talking about the creative process, such as Snyder's obsessive study habits for the book, as well as the detailed amount of referencing that Capullo does for his art. And also that Snyder and Capullo have a great, healthy respect for each other. They have not been driven to kill one another yet, anyway. That could all change immediately. So who the hell knows? The Muppets came by of Comic-Con, show off their new upcoming show in prime time. It's going to be on ABC in this Wednesdays this fall.
I hope that works out, because I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, oh, I like, me too. I want to see that show succeed. That trailer really got me excited. Damn it. The show airs, Tuesdays. The show airs on, will premiere Tuesday, September 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. So that'll be the lead-off on Tuesday nights for ABC. And a few things we learned. There will be no barrier between the human world and the Muppet world in this show.
What do you mean a barrier?
I don't know.
I thought the Muppets interacted with humans anyway.
Yeah, well, apparently that'll be more evident this time.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, they've always... It's not like the Muppet world was something like, you know, this is not the Smurfs. Separate. Yeah, I mean, they've always... We saw the movies, we've seen the old TV show, they had the celebrities. It's always been humans involved, so...
I'm just telling you what we learned. The show, the set of the new show is a very big one, and that is so big that Kermit could even see Miss Piggy's dressing room from his office.
Yeah, you know what won me over that trailer?
What? When
Kermit finally admit he got a fetish for pigs.
Yeah, that was funny. I laughed way too hard at that.
I mean, for years he's acted like he didn't want nothing to do with Miss Piggy. You know, she's Joe Kermit. He's like, get away from me, bitch.
What kind of taste for bacon?
Well, speaking of Miss Piggy,
bacon.
It turns out she will be the host of her own late night show, Up Late with Miss Piggy, with her sidekick Fozzie.
Do you think that's what he tastes when he does what he do down there? Bacon?
Oh, when he goes down on her?
He goes, bacon.
Maybe sometimes he tastes pulled pork, or or prime rib.
Prime rib is beef.
With some ham steak.
Ham steak. We go.
He tastes ham if he's eating it from the other end. We get nasty. Let's move on. Ew! Look!
Oh, you're the one who brought up pig cunnilingus. I'm just gonna say that.
I didn't say the C word. I just said you think he tastes bacon. I was just asking, you know.
Okay, well, if he eats her ass, what is he gonna taste then? Something different? A different part? Is he gonna taste? God damn it! Okay, you see what you? Say, I just
What did you just say now?
Waldorf and Stafford. That's what he tastes.
What did you just say, Jordan? Because I said if he does it from the back, he's tasting ham. Right? What did you just say?
What if he's eating her ass? What does he taste?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He tastes ham.
No, I thought you were just meaning her vagina. Like
no. That's where he tastes the ham. Okay.
Okay. So vagina tastes ham. Ass.
No. No. The behind is ham. That's where the ham comes from.
Okay, we have overcomplicated this. We got.
You do know what part of the pig the ham comes from, right? That's the hind leg.
I don't. All I know is, hey, pigs, I eat them. They're delicious.
We would like to apologize to our religious people and children in the chat room and listening live. We try to keep this a family show, so.
We do ask. Says the man who just.
We do ask you for your forgiveness. We would appreciate it, too.
I only ask for Pastor Sethel's forgiveness. That's all I care about. Dark Horse will be initiating an omnibus program, more so Dark Horse Manga. Dark Horse Manga and Publicity Coordinator Steve Sunu introduced editors Brendan Wright and Philip Simon and Director of Asian Licensing Michael Gambos to discussing the upcoming manga series at Dark Horse Manga that was held on Thursday evening in San Diego. The panel started by introducing Hiroaki Samurai's Blade the Immortal. Several volumes are out of print, which hampers new readers' enjoying of the series, apparently. But for the folks in the audience, they revealed they are going to be making an omnibus edition.
Mm-hmm.
No public release date has been made yet. And, of course, there will be also one for Planets, a space-oriented series. The first volume will drop this December, and the second volume will be, and the second and last volume will be released in April 2016. This omnibus will be printed from the original art. And there were several. Only three more books. I Am a Hero, a Japanese Walking Dead as zombie series, will be coming out April 2016. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Just a whole shit ton of other books. So if you want, go by bleedingcool.com and search for Dark Horse Manga. There are several books coming out.
Okay.
And the last two bits of stories, Spider-Man related. There was a Spider-Man panel today at San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego, of course, according to Ron Burgundy, meaning a whale's vagina. Joe Kelly and artist Ed McGuinness will be teaming up yet again for a new Deadpool story, this time with Spider-Man. Spider-Man Deadpool, which is set to debut this fall. And as the name suggests, yes, it's going to be a team-up of Spider-Man and Deadpool. Although the inherent tension between the two may bring them to conflict. There has been no specification for the series, if it's planned as an ongoing or a mini. But a major surprise is billed for the last page of the first issue.
I don't know. Teaming them up with, you know, you get a lot of laughs out of it, and of course they'll goof on each other, and Deadpool get on Spider-Man's nerves, and yeah, it'll work out. People will eat that up with a spoon, so.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, I will. And the final bit of news. Spidey, an all ages in continuity Spider-Man book called Spidey, will feature will tell all ages tales of Peter Parker in high school and be written by Robbie Thompson. Thompson said, "It's called Spidey. It's an all ages book. When Nick Lowell called me up about this, I was so excited, and I think the tagline is, before he was amazing, he was spectacular. This is Peter Parker as a teenager. These are, they're all standalone stories. These are designed to be in the classic Marvel mold. Every issue is a first issue. I think we all have that memory of Peter being in high school for like 7 decades, but it actually wasn't that long. These are those stories."
They already had an all-ages Spider-Man book out.
I'm not aware of it.
There was at one time 4 Spider-Man books out, wasn't there? In like the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, there's about that many books out now.
Yeah, there are several Spider-Man and Spider-Man-related books currently being published.
But those are the ones back in the day, they were all of one character. Now it's like, different Spider-Mans and different books and so
on. Spider-Man universe.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of Secret Wars, you're going to have the Spider-Verse. You're going to have Miles Morales. You're going to have Spider-Gwen, Spider-Woman,
Spider-Man. 2099.
Yeah, 2099 is coming back. I mean, Spider-Man for days.
Yeah. I think it's overkill, honestly.
A Spider-Man book for every week of the month.
People love Spider-Man, so.
Spider-Man's the most profitable comic book character ever, so. It's gonna happen.
I know you guys covered it on the other show, but I didn't get to hear it. What did you think of the Star Wars footage?
That's awesome. I love it. It shows they actually care this time to really make a true Star Wars movie. I'm excited.
Are we talking about footage that came out of Comic-Con or
the trailer? Yeah.
I didn't look at it yet.
Yeah.
I haven't.
I think the one thing I like about it is they built the sets and they're not going CGI like they did in the prequels.
Well, they're still going to be that blended. They're blending the technologies.
Well, you know.
Oh, I know they're going to do some CGI, but, you know, just building the sets instead of...
Yeah, that's good, yeah, whereas Lucas lost his goddamn mind.
You know who took over the original Star Wars sets? ISIS.
Yeah, they built the Millennium Falcon, they built all the ships, you know.
ISIS.
Are you being serious right now?
Where the original sets was built was over in the Middle East, and ISIS took over the area.
It's still there. Luke and the Tatooine set is still there from the original movie.
Yeah, I'm not kidding around on that. Yeah, I just haven't had a chance to look at it, so I can't comment on it. So, but what was your thoughts on it, Kid Human?
Oh, I think it's great that they built a lot of the sets instead of, you know, green screen and then CGI and the sets in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they went back to using masks and puppets like they did in the original trilogy.
Well, you know, Lucas, half his problem was when he did the original film, there was so many things he wanted to do but couldn't do practical. So when, you know, they came up with this digital, he kind of just went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the prequels, I understand you had a CGI Yoda in his lightsaber fights and whatnot, but when he was sitting there on the council, you could have used a puppet very easily. You know, just things like that just annoyed me about the prequels. It was a lot of CGI,
I was also annoyed by the terrible written stories.
So, what is your thoughts on the Star Wars retrospective that Phil has been doing?
I haven't listened to them yet. I'm trying to get in on some of them.
Me too.
Because I'm huge. I have my toys. I have my action figures from the 70s.
Still. I know. He said he was recording part 3 this weekend. I think he planned it because he knew we was I'd be busy and couldn't get on his nerves to get on there.
Yeah.
But don't come. Don't worry, Phil. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, he said he wanted to do it tonight. Now, aren't you doing a roundtable coming up in like September, October, or something?
Well, that's the Spaceball roundtable.
Okay, I thought you were doing a Star Wars one too.
No, we're doing the Star Wars Christmas special.
Okay. I want to hit on that one, man. If you
don't
mind.
Everybody's invited to the Star Wars Christmas special. I mean, we're going to talk about how great of a CBS special. No, I'm just kidding. No, well, we're going to talk about the upcoming movie and stuff.
We're going to get the singing. Come on, man. That thing is awesome.
We're going to talk about the upcoming movie. And hope I don't know if we're going to do it before or after the movie's released. Hopefully, it'll be after the movie release so we can go over the film. So, but yeah, we're doing it. Yeah. Don't worry. You in.
Doing what?
You got a seat at the table.
All right, man. Like the Godfather. I'm in there.
That's right. The Force is strong with you, my young Padawan. So.
I am the master.
And then I felt so bad for it. I always felt bad for Luke when he had to watch Ben get cut down. He's like, Ben! And he's the only one, you know what? He's the only guy that insisted on calling Obi-Wan Ben.
It's like, he respected him that much.
But Ben is not his real name.
But he also knew him as Ben. He couldn't go by Obi-Wan because he was in hiding.
Okay. Even his father's like, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. He told me you murdered him. No, I am your father.
Thank you for getting that line right. You know how many people say, Luke, I am your father?
Yeah, because they got that from Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
No! And see, you know, you can't have a Star Wars movie while somebody's screaming no. So anybody who complains about the third movie when Darth Vader screams no, what's in every other Star Wars movie too? So it was consistent.
Do you know what the other line is that's in every Star Wars movie?
What?
I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. It's in all of them as well.
All right, let's see your Star Wars knowledge. What was the last words? Darth Vader said in New Hope.
In the New Hope?
Mm-hmm.
All right, they were in the trenches. He had them locked in.
Yep.
Did he say what?
Yep, you got it.
Yep, when his boy got shot, he's like, what? And then he got pinned, picked off on the wing and spun off.
I'm gonna miss something in the air real quick before Jordan goes to the next story. Okay.
But that was it. That was the last story.
No. Oh, okay. I'm gonna admit something, and I was gonna wait till we did Star Wars, but I'm gonna admit it now. Okay.
All right.
I didn't see Star Wars for a year after it came out, because when I initially saw the commercial for Star Wars, it scared me as a kid. Seeing Chewie and Darth Vader on the screen, I thought it was some kind of horror movie, and I didn't want to go see it.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm not.
Wow, you really are a scary cat.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't go through what I went through as a Ute, so.
You were, what, 9, 10 at that time?
Yeah, I was about 9 or 10 when it came out.
I remember going to see it in theaters and getting a toy catalog, and then going to Toys R Us afterwards with my grandmother and getting a bunch of figures.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I eventually saw it and did a book report on it and everything, so. And saw it more over and over again. And couldn't wait for Empire Strikes Back, and was first in line for Return of the Jedi. And broke up over my girlfriend for Phantom Menace because she didn't want to see it, and I made her go see it anyway. Anyway, enough about my problems. No more stories, huh?
Yeah, that's it. That's it for that Comic Con 2015, San Diego Comic Con International 2015 is wrapped up.
Let's see if any late breaking news. Because Comic Con is, I'm assuming it's wrapping up, but there's still some things going on.
Apparently, according to Twitter, it's like we're done.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, thank you. It said they said thank you for making 2015 Comic-Con a memorable one. See you next year, July 21st for the 24th, 2016.
Okay, yeah, because usually Sundays nobody wants to be late. Everybody wants to get home and they want out and stuff, and so they usually end up kind of around 5 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's one piece of news that's not Comic-Con related.
Okay.
I saw it, but Nintendo CEO Satoru Iwata has passed away.
Yeah, I saw that during the show.
Oh, my God. Really?
It is incredibly sad.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our childhood right there, the NES, you know. He did Kirby's debut on the Game Boy. He did a lot of good games back then.
I'm gonna quote one of my friends that just perfectly said it best. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata has passed away. His legacy lives on for the products that gave us so much joy and fun these past few years.
We need to give this man a moment of silence, because he deserves it.
Well, just wanted to say that at the end of the show.
Now, wasn't he just at the E3?
Yeah. Yes.
And did they say what he passed away from? Or
I'm about to click on it and find out. I haven't really.
Well, you okay, IGN.
Hold on, I'm about to find out. I didn't really read it that much. I just knew about it since we were still doing the show. He's apparently passed away. The cause of death was stated as a bile duct growth. Iwata took some time off for health reasons last year and had surgery to remove a tumor, returning later in the year.
At Nintendo in the 80s as a programmer working on the HAL laboratory. Much of the Kirby success can be attributed to Iwata, who created the Dreamland and Kirby's debut on the Game Boy in 1992. He took over as director of the company in 2000, was appointed president of Nintendo in May of 2002, oversaw the launch of the GameCube, the DS, the 3DS, the Wii, and the Wii U.
Only 55 years old, too. That's too young.
Yep.
It is way too young.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got lightning move. Marvel has plans for a future console game. Okay, I didn't read that, but we'll talk about that next week. It's Marvel related. It's comic book related. So.
Happy birthday to Brock Lesnar. Thank you, Matt, for posting that.
Hey, no wrestling here. How old is he anyway?
The guy's got superhuman strength. He could be a superhero somewhere.
No, he's a super villain. He's a villain, man. He's a villain.
He's the craziest fucker on this planet.
He beats up on one-legged men.
Well, I'm seeing no other story, so I'm considering it a wrap on Comic-Con 2015.
All right, well, we appreciate those who hung out with us for the last 4 days and hanging out with us late on a Sunday night. I mean, I know people are getting ready for work tomorrow and they got to watch some Falling Skies late tonight. You into that, Kid Heeman?
No, but The Strain is coming on tonight.
Yes!
Oh, God.
And Masters of Sex. Both of those shows are back.
No scary, no sex. Sorry. Just not part of my vocabulary.
Are you a 1950s housewife that I don't know about?
Yes.
That explains a lot about you. It really does.
I don't know why we gotta have sex in this world. Can't we just get along without having sex? I mean, sex just causes so many problems and complications. I mean, first you gotta get to know somebody, and then you gotta
know their name, you know? Yeah.
Right. And then
apparently, if they like it doggy style or not, or what are their feelings about butt stuff.
And then you got to make sure you smell good and you clean. You got to take them out and you got to, you know, have relationships. And then when it comes to making love, you know, it gets all messy. And,
all right, we get it, June Cleaver. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for putting up with me and Surfer's bullshit for the past 4 days. We thank you so much for paying attention and talking to us. And man, this has been fun. I'm not gonna look at comic book resources or comicbook.com or comicbookmovienews.com or Newsarama for the next few days, since I've grown sick of looking at those sites this weekend.
There'll probably be some news tomorrow, but a lot of stuff will slow down.
I know, but I'm getting this out of my system because it's a dumb joke.
Thank Kid Humor for calling in.
Yes,
and Lee and Sugar Shane.
And Dr. J.
Hey,
I'm just glad this ended a lot better than last night.
Dr. J's like Beetlejuice, you know? People in the chat room, Stanley, Nobody, Pastor Dell, everybody hung out with us. Who else was in the chat room over the weekend?
Stanley Kubrick.
Even that damn double A called in.
Can I talk about our boss, man?
He's not the boss of me. How many times I gotta tell you all that? But he called in, so we appreciate him and his Florida Evans comic book. Yeah. So,
thank you once again, everybody, and I shall say good night. And I got a steak to eat.
I'm gonna play a song in honor of Kermit and Miss Piggy, and you know what he. What flavors he tastes, so I'm gonna say that's it for me. Did you say goodnight, Kid Human?
What's that?
Did you say goodnight?
Good night, everybody. Okay. I'm cutting out, let you guys wrap it up. Enjoy. Thanks for having me. And
yeah, Phil,
thanks for doing all the coverage.
Phil, I thought you was calling in, my friend. Philip, I wanted you to call in. And Rage, I love you, baby. Don't be mad at me. Okay? Everybody, see you next week. Peace.
And if that weren't enough, we've also got Manamana, whatever that means.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
Just a second. It's for you.
Manamana.
Manamana. The question is, what is a phenomena?
The question is, who cares?